Hey guys, Ant here. So this episode drove Mike and I crazy. We had issues with Skype. We had issues with our mics. We could not get anything right. I think it might have been take 15 in all reality. But just wanted to pop in here and say, you know, we apologize for the audio quality on this ep. It's a little low. Harkens back to our days in the fishbowl. I know some of you guys like that. Anyway, just wanted to come in and say that Mike and I are working on getting that sound back to where it was last week, and just bear with us, and thanks so much for listening. All right, and welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Snack Time with Mike and Ant. I'm one of your co-hosts, Ant Testor, a writer of names and player text for Wizard of the Coast.
With snacks.
And articles at Gathering Magic.
About snacks.
The asshole. Oh my god. This is like take 17,001. With me, as always, is the one and only super rude, super flavorful Mr. Master of Wings himself, Mike Cinnamon Linneman.
So we're having an evening, and that's fine. We're just gonna get into it right away. He's Ant. I'm Mike. We write about Magic the Gathering and flavorful things. Today we just got a preview.
We have an amazing preview. In your microphone.
That's fine. You're gonna have to deal.
This is some high level fishbowl. Crazy, like, what, I don't even know.
Skype is having issues.
Skype is just freaking out right now. It's having a day.
We literally can't get any sound to sound right, so we're just going to go through. We got a preview card for Conspiracy 2, and we've been constantly asking for preview cards that are either reprinted cards, because, you know, then it has new art, right? Or just things that have really deep flavor.
Right.
And in this case, Call of the Untamed is freaking cool. It's a cool, cool, flavorful thing. I want to talk about art first, because that's the unequivocal first thing. And, I mean, the name has nothing's got on the art for this card. My God.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. We can definitely talk about the art.
So the art, Ian McKeag, who, as Ant and I were talking off-cast about, used to do Magic back in the Onslaught block. A little bit. And since then, he picked up the Mad Prophet reprint that just happened.
In Shadows Over Innistrad.
And he, in the interim in between there, you know, did concept work for all three new Star Wars movies, Episode 1, 2, and 3, like Darth Maul. He made that. He made Darth Maul.
He invented the way Darth Maul looks.
Correct. Same thing with Queen Amidala's outfits. He made them. That's him. Down to, you know, the visual of what Draculas looked like, or what the vampires look like in Francis Ford Coppola's Dracula, or Interview with the Vampire. Hell, he was even in Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. I mean, the guy is a huge, huge deal. Like, if you watch the show Face Off, which I watch religiously, he's right. Like the guest guy from industry that comes in and helps judge. Like, he's that big a deal.
Right, right.
And for him to come in and say, you know, I'll take a Magic card. Like, it's not like the dude doesn't have offers all the time. It's got to be this. You know, I've got maybe like a week. Maybe I'm going to call the Wizards guys. I loved working on those back in my earlier days. Maybe they'll give me a card.
That was going to be my question for you. Like, do you think that's exactly how it goes down? Like, he just wants to do a card because, you know, for old time's sake, or, you know, as a fan of the game or something like that?
Exactly. And, you know, there's always a short list of people that you would, as an art director, you ping every now and then. You're like, you know, maybe Donato will say yes this time, you know? It'd be right. Like talking to, like, a Frank Frazetta or something, and be like, maybe he might say yes. I don't know, you know?
That's so interesting to me, because, you know, that's something that an artist can very easily do, because, you know, their name is on the card and everyone's going to know if they do it.
Sure.
But there really isn't a, you know, a writing analog to this. Like, I'm just thinking off the top of my head here, if somebody contacted, like, J.K. Rowling and said, hey, would you like to do a magic card? Or like R.A. Salvatore, if he's a fan of magic, if like, he wanted to do a line of flavor text, like nobody would ever know.
But like, would you write five flavor texts and integrate it into a magic story article? Like, can you imagine how incredible that would be?
Yeah, that would be amazing.
And you do a full thing about it. So that's the level of this. And the card seems really forced into this tiny box, but really it's supposed to assume that there's so many more freaking tigers than just the three you see. These are just the three closest ones.
Right.
And there's a lot more out there that you can constantly be having, considering in a draft you're going to play this a lot because it's an incredibly strong card.
Right. So for those listening, the card itself says, before you shuffle your deck to start the game, you may reveal this card from your deck and exile a creature card you drafted that isn't in your deck.
Right.
And then for X and tap the creature, you can put a token onto the battlefield that is a copy of the card that you exiled, or a copy of a card that you exiled with the card's named Caller of the Untamed. Oh, so that's interesting. X is a converted mana cost of that card. So, for example, if you were to draft two Caller of the Untamed,
it has to be
and you were to exile two different creatures, each one of those Caller of the Untamed would be able to summon either creature.
Correct.
That's pretty cool. I mean, I don't know how often that's ever going to happen.
I bet it's...
That's a slick little added, thing there.
Yeah, it's a fantastic way to get that bomb still playable in your deck, because often you'll find these really like standalone unique people.
Like third pack, you just get something totally out of color.
Totally. And that's just kind of unfortunate when that happens. But in that true mode of elf shaman, where they don't really care what the creature is. I mean, like Fauna Shaman, Steve Prescott's like iconic, beautiful piece. You discard a creature and you get a creature. It's not a green creature, it's any creature. Whereas some of the older cards, you had to look for a green creature, or you had to search for, something with Godsire or something of that sort.
Right, right.
So I love that idea that green is indifferent to what the thing is. So on point flavor for that. Love that idea. It works great in multiples.
I really like the vibe, like the passiveness of the elf in this art. Makes it really think that, this person, it's Caller of the Untamed, sure, and she's calling these vicious looking, like humongous tigers, by the way, like their heads are gigantic.
Right.
But it kind of creates this air of almost like a zookeeper or a circus performer who has established that really close bond with the animals themselves.
And we've seen some of these concepts, like the wolf skull shaman back in Morningtide.
Right, exactly.
With, the elf with puppers all around. But that had a little, it didn't seem as calm. It's almost a death rite shaman sort of calmness is what it is, that shaman in magic. So magic really hasn't shown visually and consistently, like, what is an elf shaman? What do they do? What are their abilities? And I think they're really nailing that in there, especially with like the Beast Caller Savant that just happened,
right?
In Battle for Zendikar, as well as Advocate for the Beast, even in the 2014 core set. I mean, it's recent enough that it's going to deal with bigger creatures, and it's going to be synergistic in some way, shape, or form. And that's a great area of Magic that really hasn't been explored a lot in green.
Yeah. Honestly, this art to me, it kind of reminded me of Aladdin. It reminded me of Jasmine and her tiger. It has that same kind of vibe to it, where they have a relationship. You can see it almost definitely on the elf's face, but you can almost see it in like the frontmost tiger's face, that they're buddies. And if you mess with that elf, like you're in trouble.
Right. I mean, and I think this is the type of card that's going to be really incredible in Cube.
Oh, for sure.
In future, because you have to draft it. Although, this doesn't work in Commander. But in Cube, you have so many other boom booms that you can use with, like, bounce effects and enter the battlefield triggers. There's amazing usages for this card in Cube. And this thing in foil, all of those tiger stripes are going to glow. Like, even the thing on her forehead is going to glow. And that's such a small, mindful little thing that a creature designer would be able to do to be like, oh, I know these things are foil. I'm going to make it easier for you. And it really takes really artists that have done this a couple times and really understand in the industry how some of these get reused in different properties. So I think it's fantastic. And anything that reminds me of old-timey magic, like Phyrexian Processor, because that's really what, you know, this is.
That's probably the closest analog, but what's interesting here is that, like, so Phyrexian Processor creates a vanilla creature, right? But this creates an exact copy. Like, it's the card.
Right.
So that's something that is, it feels almost like new design space to me, because, like you said, you could totally, like, if you had a Mana War, you could abuse the hell, like, Mana War on a stick. That would
Or you like absurd. A wall, like, Wall of Blossoms. Like,
right,
crazy weird stuff of that variety. And then it's also old-timey magic. I mean, if you read some of the original pre-revisionist, like, arena books, what they're doing is they, when you summon things, you create a copy, an exact copy into the ether. And they always go back and forth whether it's the real thing getting brought or a copy of it or what in on the Magic team. But this, it's a great way to flavorfully show this. So I think it's an absolute home run, and I hope Ian can keep making artworks because I think it's utterly stellar. And I really want to open this so bad in a
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that I really, really love to see is when the art and the name and the flavor text, like those flavor components, really come together and absolutely hammer home exactly what's going on the card. And like you pointed out before, having not only one tiger but three tigers and having them be out of frame on purpose and this kind of up close personal shot, it really drives home the idea that you're not limited at all by the amount of tigers or bears or whatever you happen to exile with this card. Like, you have no limit. You're almost untamed yourself in that you can summon as many of them as you want, as many of them as your opponents are going to let you get away with.
Yeah.
Right?
Totally.
The card doesn't have flavor text, but it has an absolutely, in my mind, perfect name, because, you know, obviously the collar part makes sense, being a shaman summoning beasts. It works, right? But to me, the best word here is untamed, because just that idea of the fact that, as we were speaking to before, if I'm drafting and I'm doing a red-white deck, right? Red-white tokens. Let's say that's what I'm drafting.
Sure.
And all of a sudden, I open just a stellar red dragon card.
Sure.
Normally, that's untamed for me. It's unattainable, right? Like, I'm green-white. I shouldn't be messing around with double red, triple red, and a mana cost. This card enables me to do that. It enables me to call those cards that I would otherwise be unable to utilize. And it's just, it's a great reminder when you see that name and you immediately know, oh, I know exactly what this card's going to do.
One thing I don't know what it's going to do is this has the token behind the text.
It has the token behind the text?
Yeah, behind the text, it has the seal, the wax insignia.
Right.
Not every card does.
Well, I think, the original Conspiracy had that too, right? It had it on the Draft Matters cards, I thought.
Yeah. So they are continuing that theme. I want to see if that continues to work out as that flavorful piece.
Okay.
Or if they even have some of those that say, any of the times you have the Draft Matter seal, if you have X amount of them, because you could already see other cards that have been spoiled that don't have it and they don't deal with anything. But they do deal with voting, so the voting isn't part of it. It's just the Draft Matters.
Right.
I dig it. I'm really, really, really happy about getting this from Wizards. We love getting that deep, deep flavor. The art is just so out of control. Good. Can't handle it. But that's basically all we have for this week. Ant, you got anything else?
Well, one thing I definitely wanted to touch on quick was that I really like the flavorful direction that they're going with this particular card. And at least from what I've seen so far that's been spoiled for Conspiracy, because the first time around, green was kind of the odd color out. Being that the setting is very political, it has very much to do with voting and assassins and politics at
That's
the
not
table.
green.
And
That's not green.
it is. You could not be further from green, right? You know, it's just speaking from experience. I'm trying to build a cube right now where every single card in the cube has the flavor of kind of political intrigue. It's inspired very much by conspiracy, but I'm trying to go full throttle, including red and green, which are kind of they're the harder colors to really capture, green especially. And so the first time around in conspiracy, we had, you know, these interesting new cards. It focused more on Salvara and her kind of band of explorers. You know, like they were exploring outside of the city, but there really wasn't this solid kind of flavorful tie going on. Here, we're seeing this different approach where it's kind of Caller of the Untamed. It gives this idea of these individuals who are going out and finding these wild beasts and bringing them onto their side, almost domesticating them. We also saw another card spoiled, Domesticated Hydra, that also plays up this idea of these conspiracy nobles, these individuals from Paleano going out and finding these otherwise wild animals and taming them. Why? I have no idea. We haven't found out yet. But I like that idea. I like that approach because it allows green to still be green and feel green, but the flavor is allowing it to kind of tie into that more city political, you know, throwing money around and power around because you can type of a feel. So I'm really excited to kind of see where green goes in Conspiracy 2.0, Take the Crown.
I can dig it. I can dig
I'm into it, man. I mean, it's kind of like that was the interesting puzzle to solve. You can make conspiracy cards in black and white and blue all day. You know, like that's easy. That's easy mode. But tackling green and tackling red in ways that feel appropriate, that's the interesting challenge. So.
Amen to that, brother. I'm excited for it. I want to see more. I want to see more of this. I want to add green cards in my commander deck. I want to add them to cube. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. I mean, I am so very excited for this. I worked on Conspiracy 2. I did Names and Flavor Text. We're going to be having another Names and Flavor Text writer on for our Conspiracy Flavor Gems episode. So that's going to be coming out really soon. And we also have a very special interview lined up in the next couple days. So, Mike, with that, where can people get a hold of you if they want to get a hold of you? We're going to keep it short today because, you know, we got our flavor gem, we got our preview card, we want that to be the highlight, and we've also tried to record this probably like 15,000 times. And Mike,
we really have. You can find me at Vorthos Mike, easily findable on Twitter or just a Google thing. You have an art subject. Put it in my last name, I'll show up. You can find, you know, any questions you have at snacktimethepodcast@gmail.com or at snacktimecast, which is largely nonsense. We got to thank the Patreons for honestly supporting stuff. We just had the big shipment go out.
We did.
We got voting coming up here and just around the corner. I actually got to meet a couple people from the patrons, which is fantastic at GP Portland.
Did you really? How did that go? I'm so bummed that I couldn't go. It's killing me. It's still killing me.
It was a lot of fun just to say, like, what was that thing you mentioned off cast? And I was like, oh, biscuits. So that sort of stuff, I have an episode idea in mind for some people that have mentioned some stuff off the cuff. We also have a selected one coming up soon, which we can't announce yet. But we'll get there for that person at the end.
Just speaking of that, before I sign off, you just gave me an idea. I would absolutely love to do just like a Google Hangout episode with our patrons. I think that would be really cool. And just kind of have a flavor roundtable discussion. Maybe we have a set topic or a couple topics and we just, you know, go around, talk to each other, see what's up. You know, just build that snack time community. That'd be pretty cool.
I think we could snack it up.
But anyway, if you want to get a hold of me, you can always do so on Twitter. That's the easiest way to do it. I'm at Antestor. You can also check out my website, antestor.com. That has links to everything that I've touched, pretty much. But other than that, since Mike is a zombie and he's got to go to bed, Thanks for watching.
Nailed it.